As we think about the cross and we think about what that meaning is for us personally, we think about what that means to approach the cross daily, don't we? What that means to please the Lord. What does that mean? This morning I'd like to ask you a question. Do you find yourself being a people pleaser? Do you struggle with that? Do you find yourself pleasing people? Do you find yourself being a people pleaser or someone who desires to please the Lord? Or maybe it's not you. Maybe it's not you today. Perhaps you can just think of someone in your mind. Someone jumps into your mind who seems like they're always trying to make everybody else happy. Maybe you know somebody like that. Well, one statistic comes from a Penn State University professor named Borkovec, or Dr. Borkovec, says that the single most frequent source of worry for most people is other people's opinions of their lives. Other people's opinions of their lives. I think that rings true for some of us, doesn't it? You know, for example, maybe you lost sleep last night. Maybe you lost sleep one night because somebody didn't wave to you when you walked into the church building. You know, immediately you start thinking, if you're anything like me, you know, immediately you start thinking of the last time you saw the person. You start wondering what you may have said to them that may have upset them, possibly. It's like this paranoia, right? You know, maybe they didn't like that purple jello mold that you gave them. That might not just be paranoia. But other people's opinions, sometimes they matter to us maybe just a little bit too much, don't they? Don't get me wrong. I think in our desire to daily love one another as Jesus has taught us, there's going to be times that, yes, we will in fact not show the manners that best fit a child of the one true King. Guilty. It's going to happen. But have you ever lost sleep or caught yourself in a perpetual worry over something you did or something you didn't do or something you said, something you didn't say, maybe something you think you did or something you think you didn't do or something you think you didn't? I mean, it's just this cycle, right? Something you may have said that made one person really happy while completely inadvertently alienating another. A well-known comic once said, "I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is in trying to please everybody." This morning, we're going to see what Scripture has to say about failing and pleasing everybody when we should be, in fact, succeeding in pleasing the Lord, serving the Lord. Turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 will be our text for today out of Scripture. Short but sweet. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So this morning, can we ask ourselves, do you desire the approval of people or approval of the Lord? Our first point for this morning is this. We have to make a choice between the two. We have to make a choice between the two. You see, Paul is giving us an either or statement. And maybe if we understand the context of his statement, what was going on at the time, maybe it might help us in understanding why he says it the way he does. Now, what was happening at the time in Galatia? The church was trying to keep Old Testament law as a part of their gospel, or a different gospel as a part of their faith, instead of relying on the gospel of grace, which is what Paul had been teaching. Paul is defending himself to them. It's a part of his protest to their corrupting the gospel, saying you had to keep all this stuff, keep doing all this stuff as a part of your salvation. You know, you can look, if you want to make a note of Galatians 2:16, you might jot that verse down to look up. That's a really good quick summary of the overall message Paul has to this church. Galatians 2:16. Paul goes on to argue in the first chapter of Galatians that if life was all about looking good in front of others, he at one point was the man. He'd been there. He'd been extremely zealous for the traditions of his people, verse 14, at one time. And this was before he had known Jesus in verse 16. But once the Son of God came into his life, his concern was no longer for keeping rites. His concern was for glorifying God. That became his concern. Remember, Paul had been this advanced Jewish Pharisee. He'd been trained by Gamaliel. It's interesting. There's these Jewish texts. One is called the Mishnah. Paul is described in the Jewish Mishnah as being one of the greatest teachers of all time in Judaism. Gamaliel was described as being one of the most advanced, very renowned. So Paul had been trained by this guy, Gamaliel the elder. He also held Roman citizenship. That was a big deal. That was a big deal at the time. So it's safe to say there was a good chunk of Paul's life in which he pleased an awful lot of people by who he was and by what he did. He'd been there. But after the man's conversion, Acts 9, he took up a mission. It was a different kind of a mission. It was a mission as the apostle to the Gentiles, Romans 11, 13. Not just by, we see this in Scripture, you know, he starts identifying more and more with his Roman name, Paul, instead of his Hebrew name, Saul. He starts identifying more and more as Paul, but he also changes his focus. Paul says that at one time, I pretty much made everybody happy. That was me. Except, of course, for all the Christians I was threatening and stoning and putting in prison. I didn't make them too happy, of course. But everybody important at the time in the social and religious pecking order, they were pretty much pleased with me and who I was. And what good did it get me? See, Paul had been persecuting the Son of God. For am I now at this point seeking the approval of man or of God? He goes on to answer his own question in the text by saying this either or statement. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So there's a lot there in what he's saying. Paul makes it clear one of two options. One of two options is to seek approval of the Lord. The other is pleasing people. Both cannot be our goal. It's one or the other. Our second point this morning is this. If we desire to please the Lord, if we desire the approval of the Lord, then the will of the Lord, his will must be seen in all that we do. In all that we do. If we desire the approval of the Lord, then his will must be seen in all that we do. So that means what? That means that if we're not yet into Christ, we get into Christ. We become baptized believers. Acts 2:38. It means that once we're baptized believers, we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, says Colossians 1:10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what it means. Remember, this doesn't mean that anything we're doing is saving us or that saves us, but it does mean that if we're in the saving grace of Christ, we will actively be bearing fruit in him. We are going to desire to obey him, to meet his approval. The proof will be in the pudding. But the question is, how's the pudding? Or better yet, more scripturally, how's our fruit? How's our fruit? Are we recognized as servants of Christ? And I think this is the question. This is the question that we have to ask ourselves as we decide, you know, we're going to cater goodies for this event and get plugged into that shut-in ministry and volunteer to teach this class and set out tables for that funeral dinner. We're servants of Christ. That's why we do these things. We're servants. It's all about Christ. The good news is that it's not just what everybody else thinks. It's not about saying yes, 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 yes 40 times before we collapse into exhaustion. It's about remembering that our service is to God. The cool part about that is that that includes our ministry, that includes our offering, that includes all that we bring to the table all week long. You know, there's some of these organizations, there's some of these churches that might tell you differently, might act a little differently, but what you're doing is for God. It's about remembering that whether we're meeting together here for worship, to serve together, or, you know, we're just bumping into each other at the grocery store or the basketball game or the restaurant or the movie theater, if we're in Christ, we're the church there too. We're still the church. We're still servants. In all of these locations and all of these venues, it's still all about pleasing the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." There's no time clock anywhere. This is everything everywhere. It affects everyone. So, you know, that get together, we're inviting the new couple over from the church service, the meal, the discussions afterward, the time we're spending in fellowship, should all be done to the glory of God. The time that we're rushing like crazy to get back to the house and get the house looking decent before they come over, that time too should be done to the glory of God. You know those little family moments where you're trying to get 27 things done that actually require several hours of work and you've got about 20 minutes? You know those times, and it just happens because that's real life? Are those instances too, and this is the really, really hard part, are those moments being done to the glory of God, to seek his approval? That one's hard. Or does it feel more like the Lord has already come back and you guys missed him? Years ago, my wife and I lived in an apartment next door to a lady. Lady had about 12 or 13 kids. And every morning, you could always tell when it was time for the kids to get out the door for school. You could tell. It was in the air, you might say. The lady could yell. Lady could yell, man. And every morning, that lady, she'd yell those kids out the door. Every morning. I mean, you know, it was like a grown-up walking alarm clock. It just pierced through the drywall, you know? We didn't have the best walls in the apartment, but I remember thinking at the time, I can't wait to have 12 kids of my own. That sounds like a really good time. But seriously, I mean, we've met people like this. You know someone like this, right? The lady that always seems to be yelling and screaming her head off, and yet, you know, the kids don't actually ever listen to anything she says. You're just sitting there shaking your head thinking, I wonder why. I always felt sorry for this neighbor. It seemed like the little moments of life were always such a big deal. They were always such a big deal. Well, they are a big deal. They are a big deal. But it seems as though we too often sacrifice these little moments of living because we're afraid we'll mess up on making a big impression for somebody, don't we? But here's the thing. It's exactly in these little moments, these moments of getting the kids up and awake and getting the phone calls made and getting the kids on the bus, you know, to the breakfast table, making sure the doctor appointment doesn't clash with the poodle haircut, you know, all those little things. It's in these moments that we're living our lives, that we're doing what we do. To the approval of whom? To the approval of whom? Not, you know, there's not some imaginary fictional parent or grandparent of the year committee, is there? And it doesn't matter what the nosy neighbor thinks either. We're seeking God's approval. We're seeking God's approval in those moments. And those are tough moments, but we reflect the sacrificial love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all that we say, in all that we do. You know, when it's not so our spouse or our kids or our boss or our dinner guests will say, well, there's some great fine specimens of perfect people, because we know that's a lie. We know that's a lie. Deep down, we're just trying to keep from yelling our heads off too, aren't we, like the neighbor lady. But we reflect the sacrificial love of our Lord and our Savior Jesus in word and deed because we love and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why. That's why we do that. But that's why we should do that. We desire his approval upon our lives. See, he cares about those little moments. They are a big deal because in those moments, we too reflect the love and surrender of Jesus or the desire for control like the devil. It's in the little moments. How freeing our lives could be, how freeing these moments could be if we take Paul's advice, remember that we're servants of Christ. If we could give up our sense of moral control to the one who is actually in control. And that includes when we're dealing with kids. It includes when we're dealing with little ones who sometimes think they're in control. You know, we might sleep a little better at night. And we might actually be able to bear Christian fruit when we're awake. We don't have to make people happy. What a relief that should be for us that that's not the goal. What a shift in priorities it could be for us to understand that things don't have to look immaculate in our lives. Our houses, our kids don't have to have matching ties and handkerchiefs and violins. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, we don't have to impress other people. How much easier our lives could be if we start to understand why Paul gave up what impressed the people around him for an audience of one. An audience of one. He understood Philippians 2:13 that it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's not dependent on us, it's dependent on him. Our making people happy, it's got to go. It's got to go. There's only one whose approval we should seek. And you know what? The best part is he's promised to guide us along. If we'll just stick with him. But we got to stick with him. We got to surrender to him. This is maybe the cool part of this morning. Our final point this morning is this. If we're seeking the Lord's approval, we will succeed at loving others. It will happen. If we're seeking the Lord's approval, we will succeed at loving others because it's part of that package. But if we're just trying to make people happy, it won't ever happen. It won't ever happen. And let me say this one more time. If we're seeking the Lord's approval, we will succeed at loving others. But if we're just trying to make people happy, it won't happen. Because if the Lord isn't the root at what we're doing, what is? Selfish ambition? The self? The pride that controls us? The world says things like, you know, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But the Bible says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Philippians 2:3. That's what the Bible says. The Bible cuts through these people politics. The Bible cuts through them. The Bible cuts through politics. You know why? Because the Bible is for the people. The Bible is pro-people. It's for me. It's for you. It's for her and him. It's not for our politics. It's not for our schemes. Christ has taught us that to be first in the kingdom is to be a servant, backwards to the way we're going to think naturally in the flesh. Matthew 20:26-28. To be a servant is we will end up doing because it's what Christ has commanded us to do. Here's the cool part. You can be that mom of your wildest dreams. You know how it's going to happen? You can be that mom of your dreams that you've got in your head at the end of the day. And it's not going to be because you drove 7 kids to 7 different sporting events while you simultaneously vacuumed the entire house and you got every piece of clothing washed and you got every fork and cookie sheet scrubbed and you got every blind and curtain dusted and you've changed every hanging towel and bed sheet. I don't know how you guys do it. But it's going to happen. You know how? Not because you did all those things to make your spouse or your kids or your next door neighbor or your mother or your mother-in-law happy. Good luck. But you know how it's going to happen? You know how it's going to happen that your dream mom, because you got a really big hug out of your kids before they went to bed for the night. That's how it's going to happen. They knew mom was there. They knew mom was there. They knew mom was for them. They knew mom loved them. Mom was there for them and loved them because Christ was there and loved us first. It's that simple. Mom was there. And we'll receive the blessings that God intended for us. This love given, love taken. Not just in our immediate families, but also through our friendships, through our business partners, others around us are coming in and learning how to love God and love others just as we are. You see, God put this pattern in place for us a long time ago. He called it community. And basically, this is the way it's supposed to work. If we're all denying ourselves and following Jesus the way we're supposed to be in Matthew 16:24, then none of us will feel inadequate. None of us will feel a lack of control or short of approval because we're all seeking our approval in Jesus and we're all building each other up. That's the way it's supposed to work. So there's no problems. It's not just any old community. It's what it means to be the fully functional body of Christ as Scripture intends. But we get this backwards in our mind. We get this backwards because we're in the world, so the world affects our thinking. Jesus doesn't say, seek out the big shots around you so that you may, too, accelerate in your rise to the top of the heap. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. You will find your place. You will grow where you're supposed to be planted because I'll relocate you and I'll do the planting. See the difference? It's him. It's all about him. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to solve all of our problems, right? It's not going to make everything completely smooth. Not everyone's going to be happy that we're not just trying to make everyone happy. That's not going to make anybody happy. As we walk with Christ, we're going to run into plenty of detractors. We're going to run into a few critics. I mean, both in and out of the church. You know, they say that you can't make all of the people happy all of the time, but, you know, it's also true that some of the people you won't make happy any of the time. But this is why making people happy is not the goal. You know what the goal is? Loving them like Jesus loves them. That's the goal. Big difference. Something I was thinking of this week when I was going through and prepping this is, my kids hate this when I make them come in from playing outside in a thunderstorm. It doesn't make them too happy. It doesn't make them too happy to have to come in because they're having fun. But I love them too much to make them happy. I'd kind of like to keep them around a little bit longer, you know, when you start hearing the weather outside. Can you imagine if nobody, and I mean nobody, you see examples, but can you imagine if not a single person ever actually raised their kids, they just wanted to make them happy? What would that look like? I mean, you know, it'd be awful. You'd go home and it'd be like spending another night at Chuck E. Cheese. Same is true in all of our human relationships. We can't just make people happy all the time. They don't know what's best for them. They're people. I don't know what's best for me, but I know who does. I know who does. And Jesus is best for everybody. I can tell you that. Only from Jesus can we receive all the love, all the acceptance that too often we place on others. We demand from others. We expect it. From our families, from our friends, from our contacts, from people that we don't even know on social media? What? Why? Question is, are we striving to please him? Or are we just trying to make everybody happy? In whom do we find our acceptance and our approval? You know, as it's been said, the key to failure, and I like this a lot, the key to failure is in trying to please everybody. Everybody, of course, except the one who has already approved you for himself. He's already done that. You're good with God if you're in Jesus. Will you join me in prayer to him now? Lord, this morning as we approach you, we thank you so much for your love. Lord, you've revealed to us in Scripture that you view us in you as your children. And Lord, you desire to have that relationship with us like a father. A perfect father. And Lord, that's a promise that we can't even really even maybe begin to understand what that means. But Lord, it's a love that we can reach out and grab a hold of. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we go about our lives, our daily lives, through the business that we conduct and in all of our relationships, that we worry a whole lot less about the world around us and a whole lot more about you. I pray, Lord, that your love grab a hold of us and we get caught up in that and not politics. I pray, Lord, that we get caught up in your word and your gospel, your love for us, so that it might be seen throughout our lives that we're not just trying to play politics with people, but that we honestly love them. We show them how much we love them because you've loved us with a perfect love. A love that covers us in every way, every sin we've ever committed. Because of the cross. Speak to our hearts. Please draw us closer to you. Help us to give up our expectations and our desires within this world and lay them at your feet. God, we know you know what's best for us. And you've given us our worth. Thank you so much, Lord. For your love. It is in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Approval came through the cross. That's how we were made good. It's an old song. That old account was settled long ago. It's very true. Approval came through the cross. So this morning, we're going to stand, we're going to sing "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." Home to our Father. Would you stand and sing page 471 with us?